disgraced woman is a community of young women who prioritize God's leading in every aspect of their lives. In this podcast, we share our stories, the good and not so great part of it, as we learn to trust God wholly, obey Him fully, and be God's vessels of honor in our generation. Every episode is filled with real-life lessons and experiences that would leave you longing for a deeper and more intimate walk with God. I'm your host, Grace Oriagan, and welcome to the Graced Woman Podcast. Hello, and welcome back to another episode of the Graced Woman Podcast. We are still reeling from the last episode with our first guest ever on the Graced Woman Podcast. And I cannot thank you all enough for listening and sharing your beautiful feedback. That episode was so packed with so much lessons. It's an episode that I would listen to over and over again. And one major lesson I learned from our guest is that she talked about grinding over hustling. And with grinding, from what she shared, with grinding, you understand that God has given you resources and He wants you to use those resources for His glory in a timely way. If you've not listened to that episode, please just stop here and go and listen to that episode, because it was so good, so good. And I would also appreciate if you share with your friends and your family. Before we proceed to today's episode, I want to quickly share some church announcements. First of all, have you subscribed to the Graced Woman Tribe? Have you subscribed to our email list? Honestly, if you've not subscribed, you're really missing out on so much goodies. In the past few weeks, we've had tens of women join our tribe, and they are enjoying all the free templates, and we also have a weekly dose of grace. That's what we call it. Every week we send them weekly dose of grace straight into their inbox. Also, our tribe, our Grace Woman Tribe, they're enjoying our playlist. We have a playlist currently on seasons. There are so many things, so many benefits, so many things that you are missing if you've not subscribed to the Grace Woman Tribe. So don't sleep on it, sis. Check our Instagram bio. Our Instagram handle is @GraceWomanCo. Check the bio and you would see the direct link to subscribe. And also, while you are on Instagram, if you've not followed us, please follow us. We're hoping to get to 200 followers on Instagram before the end of this year. The next announcement I have is for our Apple Podcast listeners. So we currently have 20% of our listeners from Apple Podcast. And how Apple Podcast works is you can leave a review, you can give 5-star rating, and that would help our podcast to reach more people. So if you're listening to the podcast with the Apple Podcast app, please don't forget to give Grace Woman Podcast a 5-star rating and leave us a beautiful review if these episodes have been a blessing to you, so that we can reach more people. Thank you so much in advance. Now we have the announcement out of the way. Let's dive into today's episode. In the past two episodes that I've shared in this new season, we've been talking about the essence of seasons, and then we talked a bit on navigating seasons on our last episode. We have two more guests that will be joining us to share more about navigating seasons, so you don't want to miss out. You don't want to miss it for anything. Stay tuned. Today we'll be taking this conversation a step further, and we'll be talking about embracing seasons. Yeah. We've talked about essence of seasons. We understand the importance of seasons. Now we know what seasons are here for, what they are here to do in our lives. Today we're going to be talking about how we can embrace seasons, right? And I'll be breaking this episode into two main parts. The first part is understanding what each season requires and how you can embrace it, right? And then the second part will be talking about how we prepare for seasons, okay? So let's start with understanding what each season requires and how we can embrace it. I believe that at this point we are all on the same page that seasons are inevitable. Like it's not something that we can do without. Even though society and culture paints the soft life, which in my opinion is a myth, like a life that is just rosy, without no issues, no troubles, no trials, we know that that is not even possible. Like, we understand now that there are ups and downs, it's inevitable. There are going to be tough times and there are going to be smooth times. It's not possible for you to live all your life just in enjoyment. Even the wealthiest people, the richest people, I think that there is a comment that says that even the rich cries. The rich man also cries. The rich man also has ways pinching them. They also have their issues. And there's another comment that says rich man problems. That the rich people have their own problems. It is very true. Like, no matter how much money, no matter how much influence, no matter how much wealth you have, you will still go through seasons of pain, of discomfort. So that's the reason why I think that the soft life is a myth. It's not possible. It's not real. It's not a realistic approach to life. At the Grace Woman community, we are team Zero Hustle. Again, if you listen to the last episode, you will know that our guest mentioned about how even though the millennials or Gen Z, now everyone is hustling and she does not believe in that mindset. Instead, she will say she's grinding. And I am on that, because I also don't believe in the hustling mentality. But even though we are team Zero Hustle and we believe that we are called to enjoy a life of ease and rest, we also know that we are not called to a soft life. When you understand the calling of God upon your life, especially as Christians, as children of God, when you understand the calling of God upon your life, you know that there is nothing soft about it. Let's just take a look at the Bible. Can you mention one person in the Bible who did great exploit for God and that person had a soft life? Like, can you mention anybody in the Bible? I'll wait, or you can drop a comment on Instagram. Can you mention one person in the Bible that did exploit for God but experienced a soft life? Even the richest man in the Bible, Solomon, he didn't have a soft life at all. From his birth, if you remember, Solomon was born out of an adulterous union. If you remember the story, when King David went over, looking over his corridor, and then he saw a woman having a bath, and he told them to bring her. He slept with her, whatever, and then asked that the woman's husband is killed. So, and then he eventually married the woman, and then they gave birth to Solomon. But he was born out of an adulterous union. So from his birth, was it Jeremiah that's saying, "Seeing that my mother conceived me," like this is what he meant. Like, Solomon was literally conceived out of sin. And then we also saw sibling rivalry. His brothers, they wanted to kill themselves. And even when he eventually became king, and he was now the richest and wisest king, in 1 Kings chapter 2 and 3, it said that he had 700 wives of royal birth and 300 concubines, and his wives led him astray. What is soft about that? As Solomon grew old, his wives turned his heart after other gods, and his heart was not fully devoted to the Lord his God as the heart of his father had been. Like, what is soft about that? Instead, let me tell you the kind of soft life that we've been called to. Yeah, and this will shock you. Yes, we've been called to a soft life, but let me show you from the Bible the kind of soft life that we've been called to. In Matthew chapter 8, verse 23 to 27, I'll be reading the New Living Translation, that's NLT version. Then Jesus got into the boat and started across the lake with his disciples. Suddenly, a fierce storm struck the lake with waves breaking into the boat, but Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him up, shouting, "Lord, save us, we are going to drown." Jesus responded, "Why are you afraid? You have so little faith." Then he got up and rebuked the wind and waves, and suddenly there was a great calm. The disciples were amazed. "Who is this man?" they asked. "Even the winds and waves obey him." Can you see that? That is soft life. Sleeping in the middle of the storm kind of life. Sleeping in the middle of challenges when your heart is at rest, even when everything is scattering, even when everything is turning upside down, you are at peace. That is the life of ease and peace that we've been called to. Peace in the midst of the storm. Peace in the midst of trials and tribulations, because we know that he who is in us is greater than he who is in the world. I think that we've listened to so many easygoing messages, motivational speeches, telling us you can do this, you can do that, giving us morale and all of that, that our minds have become misconstrued, and we are wrongly misinterpreting the importance of different seasons of life. I understand abundance. I understand surplus. I understand wealth. I understand enjoyment. But I also understand the place of sacrifice. I also understand that there are some times that there will be pruning and there will be cutting, and God will be doing a work in our heart, in our character, to mold us and shape us until we are like him. And all of those things do not come with pain, do not come with ease. Most times those things come with excruciating pain. So when we understand that there are going to be different seasons in lives, and the earlier we embrace it, the better, then we'll be able to utilize those seasons well, so that the results that God wants it to have in us would be realized. Let's look at the Bible again, and let's look at Jesus Christ. I love reading the Gospels, because I think that Jesus Christ, the account of Jesus Christ's life on earth, just shows us how he was able to go through different situations, and just gives us a clear example, someone we can look up to, a model that we can look up to. Like, if Jesus Christ did it, then I can also do it. Jesus Christ had a clear understanding of his assignment and what the different seasons of his life expected from him. From birth to his teenage years, when he was sneaking into the temple, he left his parents. They were confused. They were wondering where he was. Even after they found him, they still did not understand him. Jesus Christ knew. He understood the different seasons of his life. To the time of fasting and praying, when he took some days aside at the start of his ministry to fast and to pray. And even during the course of his ministry, when you read the Gospels, you'll see several times where he said that Jesus Christ went to an isolated place to pray, and then to crucifixion. He understood the different seasons of his time here on earth, and he embraced it. There were seasons of rest. There were seasons of enjoyment, in quotes, when he would go to parties and weddings with his disciples. And there were seasons where the crowd loved him. They just wanted to always be with him. They did not want to go home for days. And there were also seasons where that same crowd picked up stones to stone him. But he understood and he embraced every single season of his life. He had a very strong conviction and understanding, such that even when his disciples, when he told his disciples that he was going to die, Peter, well-meaning Peter, what did he do? He told him, "No, you're not going to die. That's not going to happen." And what did Jesus Christ do? He rebuked the devil that was speaking through Peter. Peter had really good intentions. He had the best intentions. But he did not, and Peter also did not understand why Jesus Christ was saying that he was going to die. He didn't understand why Jesus Christ was saying he was going to go through pain and betrayal and denial and crucifixion. It didn't make any sense to Peter, so he tried to fight against it. Also, Peter did not understand that after that pain and crucifixion, there was going to be victory and salvation. All Peter saw was the pain that Jesus Christ was saying he was going to go through, and his human instinct, out of love for Jesus, his reaction was to say, "No, that's not going to happen." But Jesus Christ understood what that season required of him, and he embraced it. Was it hard? Oh yes, it was hard. It was hard to the point that he cried, "My Father, why have you forsaken me?" It was hard to the point that in Mark chapter 14 verse 36, he said, "Abba Father, everything is possible for you. Please let this cup of suffering, please take this cup of suffering away from me. Yet I want your will to be done, not mine." Even through the pain, it did not stop him from going ahead with that assignment. So understanding and embracing what each season of our life, understanding and embracing what that season requires of us is very key, so that we don't waste the season. Imagine that Jesus Christ wasted that season and he said, "I beg, I'm not doing it again. I'm not going to go through this pain. I'm not going to go through this crucifixion." I don't even want to imagine what would have happened if Jesus Christ did not go ahead with the crucifixion. Yes, probably God would have sent a replacement, but maybe we would not even be celebrating the salvation and the freedom and all that we're enjoying now through, just because of that sacrifice that Jesus Christ did for us. There are destinies that are tied to our obedience and tied to how we embrace each season of our lives. And most times each season is linked to another season. So the season that you're currently in now is linked to the next season. And if you don't learn the lessons, if we don't learn the lessons that God is teaching us in this season, we will not be well equipped for the next season of life. We will not be well equipped for the next phase of life. And that's why, like the children of Israel, it seems like we're going round and round. We're going round a mountain 1 million times. I remember a particular season I was in some 3-4 years back, and it felt like there was repetition. So I was experiencing something and that thing was not going away. Instead, it would repeat itself in different scenarios. So for example, I was having issues with people, and just disunity and just different issues with people, and it will happen with one person, it will repeat itself again in the next person. It was happening repeatedly with different people. At some point, I was scared of having new friends or having new relationships because I felt like I would ruin it again with strife or disunity, because that it was repeating itself with different people. And I remember the Holy Spirit telling me that, "You've not learned the lesson I need you to learn. That's why this thing is repeating itself. You need to learn a lesson." Because then I was thinking that the people were the problem, so I was attacking them or I was having issues with them physically. But the Holy Spirit was letting me know that this is more than a physical issue. This is more than physical dispute. This is a spiritual thing. There is a spirit of disunity that the enemy is planting in your life. And if you don't face the enemy, because it's the enemy that is causing this issue, if you don't face the enemy and cast out that spirit of disunity, it will continue to repeat itself in all your different relationships and continue to ruin all your relationships. So I stopped looking at the people as the enemy. I stopped looking at my friends and my family as the enemy. And I went to prayer, and as we proceed in this episode, I would share more how I was able to prepare in that season. But I had to go into prayer and I had to face the enemy. And once I was able to face that battle and fight that battle and overcome that battle in the spirit, in the physical, things turned around. The people that I seen like I was having issues with, like, we moved on like nothing happened. And if you remember, in the Old Testament, the children of Israel were going around the mountain because they had not learned the lessons that God was teaching them. When it looks like you are stuck at one point and you're not making any progress, when it looks like things are not working out, just maybe, there are lessons God wants you to learn from this season that you're not learning. And that's what is hindering you from moving on to the next season. Before you start to complain and compare your chapter 1 with another person's chapter 13, I need you to take a pause and ask God, what does this season require from me? Teach me, help me to understand what this season requires from me now. Help me to embrace this season I'm currently in so that I don't waste it. It's a very, very important prayer point that we all need to pray. And it's not a prayer point that we just pray once and we forget about it, because we experience seasons every day. We are transitioning from one season to another, and as we are transitioning to another season, we need to understand what that season requires and embrace it, right? So this will take me to the next part of this episode, which is preparing for seasons. How do you prepare for seasons? Now you've embraced a season, how do you prepare for that, for it? You know how we prepare both mentally and physically for winter, for example, or for rainy seasons? We get warmer clothes, we up our vitamins intake, we make sure that there is always wood for the fireplace if you live in climates that require that. That's the same way we need to prepare for seasons, right? As much as sometimes some seasons are unexpected, some seasons are unpredictable, we are not supposed to be reactors waiting for a situation to happen and then we react to it. And I see this a lot on social media these days. When something happens, we now react to it and start to pray against it and start to say, oh, this and that. We're not supposed to be reactors. Instead, we are called to be dictators. We are called to dictate how things happen. Remember the story that I just shared, how I was experiencing conflict with people in my life and I was attacking them. That was me reacting. That was me reacting to the situation, reacting and then looking at them as the issue. But the Holy Spirit called to my attention and told me, you cannot be reacting to these people. These people are not the problem. The problem is in the spirit. The problem is the devil. The enemy is the devil, not your family and your friends. And you cannot continue to be reacting in the physical when you are called to be a dictator in the spirit. Go into the spiritual realms in prayer on your knees and dictate to the enemy and tell him, no, you cannot continue doing this to me. No, you have to stop that now. Dictate in the spirit, and then in the physical, things will take shape. We have access to divine intel from the throne of grace. So nothing can catch us by surprise. Nothing should catch us by surprise. We are supposed to be one step ahead of the enemy. We are not ignorant of his devices. We are not ignorant of his tactics. So we need to prepare. That's how we prepare. We prepare in the spirit. We prepare in the spiritual realm. We equip ourselves with the whole armor of God. That's how we prepare. We prepare in the war room on our knees. That's how we prepare. That's how we prepare for the different seasons of our lives. We don't react to seasons. We approach the different seasons of our lives from a prepared approach, a prepared mindset. And I'm going to be wrapping up this episode with this scripture. This scripture is one of my anchor scriptures in life. This is a scripture that equips me and prepares me for different seasons of life. And this scripture applies for any season that you are in life. We, like I said earlier, that we are not called to a soft life. When you understand the calling of God upon your life, you will understand that there's nothing soft about it. As a matter of fact, we are in a war zone, especially with how the world is going right now. We are in a war zone. Whatever situation you find yourself, whether you are a wife or a mother, or you are a young person just trying to understand God's calling upon your life, we are in a war zone. The devil is not smiling. The devil knows that God has called you. God has put a calling upon your life. And he does not want that to happen, because he knows that there are destinies attached to your life. And he knows that if you go on to accomplish what God has called you to do, it's not going to benefit him and his kingdom. So he's against you. He's against your life. And he's coming in different ways. He's coming through depression. He's coming through anxiety. He's coming through lack, in quotes. He's coming in different ways. He's coming through sickness. He's coming through conflict and disunity. He's putting seeds of disunity in the life of you and the people that God has placed in your life. And we cannot be ignorant of the different tactics of the enemy. So we need to prepare. And how are we going to prepare? I'm going to wrap this up with Ephesians chapter 6 from verse 10 to 18. If you don't know this verse, if you're not familiar with this verse, if you don't understand this verse, I want to urge you to read this verse in different versions and translation of the Bible. If King James Version seems too tough for you, try the new King James Version. If you don't understand that one, try NLT. Try NIV, try the Message translation, until you have an understanding of what this verse means. Because I think that this verses, these scriptures I'm going to read now, they are like the core of our spiritual faith and the core of spiritual warfare that we've been called to. And when you don't understand spiritual warfare, when you don't understand how to fight and how to prepare in the spiritual realms, you'll be like a football in the legs of the devil. The devil will just be tossing you to and fro because this one does not know who she is. Do you understand what I mean? And we cannot operate from that level. Because of the calling that God has upon our lives, we cannot operate on that level. So let me read Ephesians chapter 6 from verse 10 to 18. This is Paul talking to the Ephesians. He said, a final word. I'm reading from New Living Translation, NLT. A final word. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you'll be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies. Did you hear that? We are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies. We are not fighting in the physical. Don't look at your boss and say your boss is a problem. No, you are not fighting in the physical. Don't look at your husband and say your husband is a problem because you are having one misunderstanding or the other in your house. No, you are not fighting in the physical. Don't look at your children and say your children are the problem because they are stubborn, in quotes, or they are heady, or they are not listening to you. No, you are not fighting in the physical. Don't look at your bank account and think that that is the problem because you don't have money, because things are not working out like you want them. We are not fighting in the physical. We are not fighting flesh and blood enemies. We are fighting against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. This is how you prepare. This here is how you prepare. Then after the battle, you will still be standing firm. Stand on your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you'll be fully prepared. In addition to all of these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. If I want to start to break down or talk about every aspect, every part of this armor, as Paul explained it, we will not. That's going to be not even an episode. It's going to be a season on its own. I read this book by Priscilla Shire. I don't know if you know her. She's one of the actress for this war room movie. If you can get a hold of her book, I think it's called Fervent. If you can get a hold of that book, or if you can check her YouTube channel and listen to her messages on Fervent, on the whole armor of God, please do. Just start from there. In the future, if I can record an episode that breaks it down as the Holy Spirit leads me, I will do that. But before then, just go and check on these resources and digest them, because my darlings, that is how we prepare. That is how we prepare so that we are not reactors as we go through the different seasons of life. That is how we prepare so that we can dictate in the Spirit and we can align in the Spirit and we can see ahead of the enemy and we can understand and embrace each season that God has called us to. When Jesus Christ was waking up early in the morning and going to a solitary place to pray, that's what he was doing. He was preparing. He was preparing himself such that when the different seasons of life came, when the Pharisees came with their many questions and their many critics, he was able to answer them with the right words because he had prepared. So I would wrap this episode here, and I just pray that God helps us. I just pray that we move from being reactors and we start to dictate. I just pray that we do not waste the seasons of life that God has placed us in. And I also pray that our eyes are open and our hearts are open to understand the divine intel that we have at our disposal, the divine knowledge that God wants to download into our spirit, the divine understanding that God wants to download into our spirit. I pray that we are aware and we embrace every single thing that God has for us so that we don't waste the seasons of our lives. Thank you so much for listening to yet another episode. I pray that this episode has blessed you, and I am begging once again that you share these episodes with your family, with your friend. If you know someone that needs to hear these truths, please share this. Just share the link with them and just urge them. I think that you should listen to this episode. I would see you in our next episode. If you notice, our episodes have been coming out in 2 weeks, one in 2 weeks, fortnightly. That is the new schedule that we have, so that we have ample time to prepare and create these episodes for you guys. Thank you so much once again for listening. I'll see you in the next episode. Bye.